Time is 1:34. I'd like to call this meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee to order. We are in Belch Room 105, the Thomas Stewart Building in the beautiful capital city of Juneau, Alaska. Today is Wednesday, March 29th, 2023. Members present are Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Bishop, Senator Dunbar, and myself, Senator Bjork. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please turn off or silence your cell phones. I'd like to recognize and welcome our recording secretary, Juliana Singh, and our LAO moderator, Jake Wade. Today we have four items on our agenda. We actually have three items on our agenda today. Senate Bill 83, Professional Licensing and Temporary Permits. Senate Bill 93, the Fisherman's Fund, Vessel Owner Claims. And Senate Bill 88, Retirement Systems Defined Benefit Option. First up today is Senate Bill 83. We first heard this bill on March 6th when we had an introduction of the bill and took public testimony. Here to present a recap of the bill, Deputy Director Glenn Saviors with CBPL. Ms. Saviors, please join us at the table. Welcome to Senate Labor and Commerce.
Great. Good afternoon, Chair Bjorkman, members of the committee. Generally, Director, sorry, for the record, Glenn Saviors, Deputy Director of the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing with the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. Director Rob is at a national conference, so you got me today. I'm just going to give you a brief recap on Senate Bill 83 and let you know about something that's coming. So Senate Bill 83 is our universal temporary licensure bill. What this does is allow the department to issue temporary licenses to qualified professionals who have a license that requires substantially the same qualifications in other U.S. jurisdictions or Canadian jurisdictions, have demonstrated substantial compliance with licensing requirements in Alaska but live in a U.S. or Canadian jurisdiction that does not license that profession. That might apply to massage therapists, for example. And meet the requirements for an Alaska license through military education, training, and service, but was not licensed in another jurisdiction. Person cannot qualify for a temporary license if the jurisdiction they're coming from doesn't have substantially similar requirements to obtain an Alaska license, if the individual is currently the subject of disciplinary action or the subject of an ongoing review or disciplinary proceeding related to their profession in another jurisdiction, or if they've committed an act in another jurisdiction in the last 10 years that would have prevented them from obtaining an Alaska license at the time of the act. Licenses will be valid for 180 days. There's an option for a 180-day extension at the department's discretion, and the department will have the ability to revoke a license if it was obtained under deceit, fraud, or intentional misrepresentation. Holders of these licenses have to follow all of Alaska's laws, and these licenses won't be available to licensees under the Board of Marine Pilots, the Big Game Commercial Services Board, or the Board for Registration for architects, engineers, and land surveyors because those professions do require Alaska-specific training. The issuance of temporary licenses will be part of our regular permanent licensure process if the applicant wants a permanent license so that we can avoid a huge increase in the number of applications that we're receiving. But if someone just wants a temporary license, they can let us know that so that our staff know to go ahead and stop processing there and saving them the time and work of continuing. The State Medical Board and the State Nursing Board have similar structures already in place. We want to extend this to all of our professional licensing programs, and we do think it will still create some improvements for the processing times for those two programs, as they'll no longer have to continue to tell you what you'll also need for the permanent license. For instance, we had about 1,000 temporary nursing licenses issued in the last 8 months, 200 of them stopped at temporary. It would be very useful for us not to put in that additional work to say, here's also what you need if you wanted the permanent, unless they came back and changed their mind. The main goal of this is to get professionals licensed quicker and working in Alaska. So I also want to give you a heads up about a change that's coming that we have talked to the chair's office about just recently. It just came to our attention that Congress adopted a federal law, H.R. 7939, which went into effect on January 5th. What it does is amend Title VII of the Service Members Civil Relief Act. Section 19 of this federal bill concerns the portability of professional licenses of members of the uniformed services and their spouses. And it requires states to treat a military service member's or a spouse's professional license from another jurisdiction as valid if the service member relocates his or her residency due to military orders. For the license to be valid in the new jurisdiction, the service member or spouse must remain in good standing in any jurisdiction where they have been licensed with a similar scope of practice to Alaska's. The service member or spouse must also submit documentation related to the standards of practice, discipline, and fulfillment of any continuing education requirement. The federal law also provides that where a service member is able to operate in multiple states due to an interstate licensure compact, the terms of the compact apply. Upon being made aware of this federal bill in the last few weeks, the Department of Law helped us identify how Alaska statutes need to change to comply with this federal law and determined that this universal temporary licensure bill would really be the best vessel. This is not going to change how our universal temporary licensure provisions are working. What we've talked about remains the same. What it will do is it'll amend Alaska Statute 0801063 for military courtesy licenses. Right now, in this bill, Senate Bill 83, Sections 2 through 6 amend the statute only with conforming changes. You'll likely be seeing a CS here that will propose amending that statute a little further to comply with that federal law. So we're in the process of working through that, but we just want to be very transparent with the committee that that change is coming, and this felt like the best vessel for it.
Thank you, Deputy Director. Are there questions from the committee? At this time, I would like to open public testimony on Senate Bill 83. Is there anyone in the room who would like to testify? Please come forward, state your name and affiliation for the record, and begin your testimony.
All right, thank you, Chair Bjorkman, members of the committee. Thank you for allowing me to testify today. My name is Ben Wilterding, for the record. I am the Director of Programs at the Archbridge Institute and also a visiting fellow with the Alaska Policy Forum. I'm happy to support SB 83 today. I am an Alaskan. I split my time between Anchorage and Juneau, and like many Alaskans, I know how frustrating it is to see businesses struggle to find qualified workers to fill their roles or to wait weeks to get on a schedule to fix a plumbing issue. The simple fact is Alaska is experiencing a workforce crisis right now. In 2022 alone, 2,500 more people moved out of Alaska than moved into it, continuing a decade-long trend of net out-migration. Alaskans between the ages of 18 and 64, the working-age population, has been on decline since 2013. West Virginia and Wyoming are the only other two states who have seen a steeper decline since in that decade. Despite these challenges, Alaska law currently prohibits licensed professionals from other states to move here and benefit Alaskans with their experience without first completing a new process and obtaining an Alaska license, forcing them to do something that they've already done in their home state and potentially wait an indeterminate amount of time while completing new exams or completing educational requirements with no ability to earn an income in the meantime. This represents a significant barrier for licensed professionals considering a move to Alaska. We do know that economic research has shown that licensing requirements in general are responsible for reducing interstate migration by up to 7%. Passing a universal licensure would significantly ease Alaska's workforce issues and make it easier for licensed professionals in good standing in other states to move to Alaska and begin working with minimal interruption while they do obtain their full Alaska license. Over the past 12 years, 12 other states have passed a permanent form of universal recognition, with six additional states that have passed a lighter form of universal licensing recognition or licensing recognition for military spouses. Universal temporary licensure makes it easier for licensed professionals to move here and get to work while they work on obtaining their full license, and I encourage you to support SB 83. Further details can be found in my written letter of support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wilterding. Is there anyone else in the room wishing to testify on Senate Bill 83? We will go off net to Karen McIntyre. Ms. McIntyre, please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Yes, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Karen McIntyre. I'm the Vice President of Workforce at South Central Foundation, and I'm testifying today in support of Senate Bill 83.
Please begin.
I'd like to start off by thanking the governor for introducing the legislation, and thank you as well to the Senate and Labor and Commerce Committee for considering the bill, and for the efforts, all the efforts that you've had for workforce challenges facing so many Alaskans in the employment sectors across the state. South Central Foundation employs thousands of healthcare workers, a majority of them who are licensed providers across a range of occupations. Currently, SCF has over 255 current employment opportunities posted, with over half of those which require an Alaskan professional license. Unfortunately, as I've presented to this committee before, delays in professional licenses and receiving a license means that Alaskan organizations can lose out on qualified employees. It's not possible to expect highly trained providers to forego months of practice due to licensure delays. This legislation will go a long way towards solving that problem. A temporary license is just that, a short duration, a way for professionals coming to the state that have similar license requirements to practice healthcare more readily and easy for organizations. It doesn't diminish the safeguards found in Alaska licensing statutes and regulations, as these professionals will have to obtain a license by the time the temporary ability to practice runs its course. I want to again thank you to the administration and the committee for considering this legislation, and I urge you to swiftly pass it in this session. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McIntyre. Are there questions from members of the committee? Seeing and hearing no one else in the room wishing to testify, we will close public testimony on Senate Bill 83, and we'll set this bill aside. We'll take a brief at ease as we prepare for our next bill on the agenda. We're back on the record. It's 1:48, and we are now going to take up Senate Bill 93. We first heard this bill last Friday. We had an introduction of the bill, took public testimony, and adopted CS version /B as a working document. Following the adoption of the CS, we realized that a portion of Fisherman's Fund, which addresses the allowance for an injury or disablement of a crew member, was inadvertently left out of that CS. Members have before them a draft proposed CS which corrects this oversight. Senator Bishop, may I have a motion, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move CS for Senate Bill 93, Work Order Number 33-Lima Sierra 0538/Sierra as the working document.
Very well. I will object for purposes of discussion, and Ms. Laura Ashe will explain changes made in this CS. Laura, will you please join us and put yourself on the record? Welcome to Senate Labor and Commerce.
Thank you, Chair Bjorkman. My name is Laura Ashe, staff to Senator Bjorkman. And as you noted, Mr. Chairman, the bill does add a new Section 1 to the CS, which brings it fully in line so that it reflects what's been adopted in the companion legislation in the other body. It does increase from $10,000 to $15,000 the total allowance for an injury or disablement or heart attack for a crew member on a fishing vessel. And there's representatives here from the department that can answer questions and speak more to this change.
Very well. Thank you for that explanation. Are there questions from members of the committee? I will remove my objection. Is there further objection to this CS? Seeing and hearing none, CS for Senate Bill 93 version /S is before the committee as a working document. Is there any committee discussion? Seeing and hearing none, what are the wishes of the committee? Senator Bishop.
Mr. Chairman, I move CS for Senate Bill 93, Work Order Number 33-Lima Sierra 0538/Sierra be reported from committee with the attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Is there further objection? Seeing and hearing none, CS for Senate Bill 93, version backslash S, moves from committee. We'll take just a brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. p.m. Our next bill is Senate Bill 88. But first, I'd like to say for the record, Senator Merrick is excused from today's hearing. We first heard Senate Bill 88 on March 13th. We then had an introduction of the bill. Since then, we have held four hearings. Today, we will continue to take public testimony. As a reminder, if members of the public have written testimony on this or any bill in Senate Labor and Commerce, please submit that written public testimony to our email address, slac@akleg.gov. Once again, that email address to submit public comment on this bill is slac@akleg.gov. At this time, we will continue public testimony on Senate Bill 88. The time limit for testimony will be 2 minutes, which I will keep diligently here on my timer. When you reach your two-minute mark, I will prompt you to wrap up your testimony and encourage you to do so in a rational fashion. I don't want to cut anyone off. However, if you don't respond to my prompts, we will cut you off. My apologies that we have to do that, but we have a time limit. I want to wrap up today by 3 o'clock. So, is there anyone in the room who would like to testify to Senate Bill 88? Please come forward, state your name and affiliation, and begin your testimony.
Good afternoon, Chair Bjorkman and members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. For the record, my name is Todd Burningham. I'm here today to testify in support of Senate Bill 88, and I would like to thank the committee chair and the members for the opportunity to testify and for their careful consideration and review of the policies proposed by Senate Bill 88. My public service began straight out of high school as a member of the United States Marine Corps. After that, I transitioned into public education, starting off briefly as a special education paraprofessional and transitioning to becoming a special education teacher. 24 years later, I'm pursuing advancement to become an administrator, leading students, teachers, and schools on to achieve great things. Little did I realize that the move to Alaska in 2009 would diminish my previous foundation in building safety for retirement. As I look ahead to continue my service as a school administrator, I am not very hopeful that Alaska has a competitive offering to recruit teachers to come to the state without Senate Bill 88 and a defined benefit plan. I will be at a loss to adequately staff a school. Currently, Anchorage School District has 72 special ed teacher job openings, 43 elementary teacher openings, 40 secondary teacher openings, and in addition, there are 142 paraprofessional openings and many administrator openings. These are all forward-facing, direct contact with student positions that are not filled. Understaffing at this level hurts students of all abilities, and their ability to succeed faces unneeded barriers. Senate Bill 88 would go a long way in assisting recruitment of qualified and motivated educators to fill these positions and have a significant impact on student success. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on Senate Bill 88 today.
Thank you very much for your testimony. If there are other people in the room wishing to testify, there is a sign-up sheet over at the table. Please make sure that you sign in. We'll go off net and hear from Barbara Tyndall. Ms. Tyndall, please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Barbara Tyndall. I am representing myself, and I live at the moment I live in North Pole. And again, I thank you for the opportunity to testify on SB 88. today. And I just want to start by saying I recently sat in a hearing with elected officials, and there was a discussion over spending money, and people were wondering if some of this money was justified. And I think we, the people, sometimes are getting a little weary of all of the spending. In this case, the public official said, excuse me, she said, this is not business. She said, this is government. And I know I was pretty horrified at that statement, that we can't run a government that is as efficient as a business and actually should be. We all have to manage our money, and we all have to pay our bills and our debts. And right now, the state of Alaska owes a whopping $7.4 billion because of a previous defined benefit system. So I'm speaking against SB 88. Sorry, I should have said that up front. If this wasn't a feasible plan before that ran us into debt, I can't imagine why we are starting it now or even considering it now. It just doesn't make any sense to drive this state further into debt. And it says, I said, you know, this is going to lead either to sales tax or income tax. We're taking the PSD away from the people. Money, money, money. It's all about money. And I just don't see that this is really good government and good business. So I urge you to vote against SB 88 and find other ways to manage these issues. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. We'll go back to the room. Is there anyone else in the room wishing to testify to Senate Bill 88? We'll continue online with Will Chervenak.
Thank you to the chair and to the committee for hearing my testimony today in support of SB 88. For the record, my name is Will Chervenak. I speak to you today as a concerned Alaskan. The state of my concern stems from the fact that Alaska's teachers are not eligible for Social Security benefits and do not have a guaranteed pension. This is the only state in the country where this is true. As a school administrator, I have seen the effect of the lack of a defined benefit pension option for Alaska teachers. This practice has resulted in ever shallower hiring pools, as well as amazing teachers leaving Alaska for a plan and another state that guarantees a pension. I can tell you that I have had many conversations with colleagues about retirement in Alaska, and for my Tier 3 cohorts, this retirement conversation is the biggest driving factor that will determine if they choose to stay in Alaska. Further, in the midst of a national teacher shortage, Alaska has become non-competitive, as the best and brightest employees and college grads sign contracts in states that support their commitment to the education of their youth with financial security for their educators. I implore you, as a person that sees the devastating effects of poor legislation that leaves Alaska's educators stuck holding the bag, as a person that watches hiring pools diminish year after year, as a person that watches highly qualified and effective teachers leave Alaska because of their lack of long-term economic security and a defined benefit retirement, do not believe the lie. This is a major issue. I can tell you with 100% certainty that offering a pension for Alaska's teachers and public workers is the linchpin that the vast majority of these employees base their decision of whether to leave or to stay. Do not believe the lie that a lack of retention of these essential workers is not the direct result of repealing a defined benefit in retirement. Thank you for your time and support of SB 88.
Thank you for your testimony, Will. Up next, Jenna Fabian.
Hi, I am Jenna Fabian, principal of Nikiski North Star on the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. And I'm also board secretary for the Alaska Association of Elementary School Principals. And I'm calling in today in support of Senate Bill 88 and would like to begin by thanking the chair and members of the committee. Currently, Alaska is one of the few states that educators no longer have a retirement plan and do not pay into Social Security. Right now, there is a roughly 38% principal turnover rate, and these statistics for teachers and other support staff are even higher. our certified professionals leave Alaska after a few years because there is no incentive to stay. In the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, we have seen a direct impact regarding difficulties retaining and recruiting staff to our amazingly beautiful area. The impact of inflation, coupled with Alaska's current retirement system for educators, has caused a drastic change to hiring pools. If we go back just 5 years ago, any vacant position would have anywhere from 10 to 70 qualified applicants for one position. Now, the competition is far less. This is a common concern that I hear from principals all over the state. No matter how large the school district is, all of Alaska's schools are feeling the negative effects. If we pair this need with flat funding and the significant disruption to education over the last several years, which has compromised the bandwidth or instructional effectiveness of our certified teaching professionals, the outcome is even more concerning. As a building principal, I have spent a lot of sleepless nights worrying about burnout and our educators leaving the profession or moving to another state to teach the same number of students with a far more supportive retirement system. I'm even more worried about whether or not we will have qualified candidates for those vacancies. Who will end up filling the positions of teachers that were highly qualified, trained, and carried years of expertise? Our students lose out on the experience with qualified professionals. Establishing a defined benefit plan is a great way to begin tackling Alaska's workforce challenges and ensure Alaska schools can continue to serve students with the quality education they deserve from qualified teaching professionals.
Up next, Samantha Wortham.
Hello, my name is Samantha Wortham from Manicotic, and I work as a science teacher in a rural Native community off the road system. I came to work in Alaska after years of relocation due to my husband's military status. Because of those circumstances, I did not have any buy-in to a state retirement system outside of the state of Alaska, nor do I qualify for Social Security, as I have not worked 10 qualifying years in a state that pays into the Social Security system. So I find myself at 38 years old, finally able to choose where my family gets to live and where we get to raise our children. We have chosen to live in the state of Alaska. It has been our dream for years. But with accomplishing that dream, I face the reality that at 38 years old, I will not have any real chance of building or piecing together a decent and workable retirement for myself here as long as I work for the state. The cost of living is so high and the pay is just not enough to live, provide for my children, buy a home in this market, and also save a significant portion of my pay to make up for the fact that I will not qualify for a pension or Social Security. In fact, when I do the math of how much my salary is and how much it would take to make up for not having a pension, it is a significant pay cut working here compared to almost every single state, and it leaves me and people like me vulnerable. I am the kind of educator that Alaska states that it needs. I teach science. I have years of experience, and I want to raise a family here for the rest of our lives. Yet I will be punished financially if I choose to do so. And worse, I will have no financial safety net should I live out my savings, and I could be left in a very dire situation with absolutely no money coming in my elder years should I live a long life. This is the exact situation people were left in before Social Security was put into place. And Alaska made a promise opting out of Social Security to put in place an equivalent. I want Alaska to make good on its promise to provide something for elderly state retirees. I need a pension. Thank you.
Testimony is worth it. Up next, Dan Polta.
Chair Berkman and members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, thank you for your service to the state and for considering this important piece of legislation in SB 88. My name is Dan Polta. I'm the superintendent of the Denali Borough School District and a member of the Teacher Retirement System Tier 2. I support SB 88 and the redesign of the current public employee and teacher retirement systems in Alaska, though I do have some concerns I also wanted to share. I firmly believe that our current system must change because I feel it is critically and dangerously flawed. I'll speak more towards the teacher system, as state employees, main municipal and non-teacher district employees also participate in the Supplemental Benefit System, or SBS, which can ameliorate some of the issues faced by teachers. Alaskan teachers do not participate in Social Security, and so do not earn that baseline of security and guarantee that almost all workers in our country receive. Further, our current state systems, both PERS and TERS, do not interact with Social Security in a complementary or supporting way. Employees that move between the state system and Social Security during their working life can be incredibly disadvantaged. Our teachers at minimum deserve the assurance of a basic floor for retirement, and our current system does not do that. Nor do the current state systems provide appropriate protections for non-work-related death or disability of our employees. I do have some suggestions on SB 88, and I've shared several technical ideas with the bill sponsor and have included them in my written testimony. My biggest concern for any retirement system redesign is the cost to the state, the employer, and to the employee. The current design in SB 88 is generous, and therefore it's expensive. As an active member of an earlier retirement design, I understand and deeply appreciate that generosity. I also know that as superintendent, I can use and leverage that generosity to help recruit and retain our teachers and their support staff, thereby improving the professional capital in our schools working with our children. As you continue your discussions to fix the flaws in our current system, please do so with your eyes wide open so we can offer our public servants a system that provides needed guarantees, is generous, attractive, and at the same time is cost-effective, affordable, and financially sound for all parties, the state, the employer, and the employee. Thank you again for your consideration of this important issue and for seeking to improve the working conditions for all of our public servants.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next, Penny Vodla.
Hello. Thank you very much, Senator Bjorkman and the committee, for presenting this today. I'm here to support, in support of Senate Bill 88, Retirement Systems Defined Benefit Options. And I'd like to give you a real quick background. I came to Alaska in 1977 for a couple of years. I taught out in the bush, and then I came down to the Kenai Peninsula. My whole life has centered around teaching, education, and children, because they should be and are our number one priority. I will always feel that way. When I came here, I taught at the high school level, and then I taught at the college level. So I see that we need to provide positive reimbursement for teachers, educators, support staff, so that they will remain in the state of Alaska. When I look at our Kenai, and when I forgot to say, excuse me, I'm from the Kenai Peninsula Borough School Board. I am a board member. I have been on the board for 15 years. I think it's really important to look at our strategic plan. The Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, one of our five priorities, priority number four, is workforce development. Why is this essential and important? A solid workforce development equates to not only a prosperous and successful employee and school, but it also pertains to successful students and robust communities. This number four priority in our strategic plan will enable our district to provide opportunities for teacher growth through professional development. It will also increase retention of teachers by providing a secure and healthy workplace environment by providing a meaningful defined retirement benefit. Currently, there is little incentive for teachers to remain in Alaska for the long term. The Kenai Peninsula Borough provides excellent training, as well as many other school districts in the state of Alaska. They also provide excellent training opportunities for teachers. However, because our current retirement system does not provide a meaningful defined benefit, we train the employees and who can get PERS and TERS, and then these employees leave the state after 5 years and take the benefits with them. They do not have a financial reason to remain in the state.
Next up, CJ Cohn.
Chairman Bjorkman and members of the Labor and Commerce Committee, thank you for allowing my testimony today. For the record, my name is CJ Cohn. I'm from Wasilla and representing myself. I'm testifying in opposition to Senate Bill 88. Currently, our great state owes more than $6.1 billion in unfunded liabilities from a previous defined benefit plan. In 1987, the federal government eliminated their defined benefit system, the CSRS retirement system, and replaced it with the Federal Employees Retirement System, which is a defined contribution system. Why would Alaska do something today that even the federal government determined was unsustainable more than 35 years ago? Since 2020, employment has become an issue for several companies, not just public services. More spending has not proven to be the solution for lack of employees. As an example, 86% of police stations across the country, all of which have some form of pension, are facing a shortage of members. And I keep hearing how teachers will not stay in the state if they don't get the retirement that is required. Well, no one else will stay in the state if they're taxed more than they are today as well. 75% of my property taxes already go to education. And it's significant. If we have a defined benefit retirement system, I'm sure on a fixed income, I won't be able to stay in the state. Our education system needs fewer administrators, not more money. And bills have been introduced this week for a broad-based state sales tax, and the PFD is again, of course, on the table. When will our legislators look for methods of reducing spending? I do believe that there should be some form of a solution for the public system. I'm not heartless. I do believe that if they don't have Social Security, they should have something. And as a solution, I would recommend a defined contribution system. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. For the record, I would like to recognize Senator Giesel, who has been in the room since the beginning of the hearing. Thank you for being here, Madam Senator. We'd like to remind folks, if we take public testimony, that public testimony was opened on this bill and remains open, and folks get to testify once in per bill, per committee. So if you've already testified, we will not likely be calling on you today. So one testimony per committee. Feel free to testify when other committees hear the bill, to be sure. Up next, Beth Freed.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak regarding SB 88. We moved away from a defined system because it was too expensive. All of a sudden, it's not too expensive. I am very disappointed in the content of SB 88, and I'm also disappointed that people are not trying to reduce expenditures, but they want to have more money come into government through taxes and other methods, like giving up our permanent fund dividends. I believe that SB 88 will lead to those problems anyway, because it will be so expensive, you will need to get more money from the people. You are not paying attention to the full picture if you think that SB 88 is going to be some kind of band-aid to keep people up here. It is not going to work that way. We know it hasn't in the past. Please do not repeat history. I appreciate your listening to my testimony, and I hope that you will take a deeper look into the effects of SB 88 and decide not to use it in its current form. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next, Kim Hayes.
Good afternoon. My name is Kim Hayes, and I'm calling on behalf of myself. I'm an Anchorage resident. I live in the Sand Lake area. I'm calling in today to support SB 88, restoring a defined benefit option for public employees. I work in the private sector, and I'm very lucky to have a defined benefit pension when it's my time to retire. So I understand what it means for me and my family to have that security in the future, and I feel like Alaska's public employees deserve the same. My whole life, I've benefited from the service of public employees. My mother worked in public schools throughout my life. My dad delivered the mail for 30 years. I know how hardworking these folks are. And I will say that my parents are enjoying a retirement that their parents would never have had access to. because of my father's defined benefit pension. So because of this pension, my parents have been highly involved grandparents, allowing my husband and I to be involved in our community while working. So that's just one interesting thing that happens when people are allowed to retire with dignity. I want to live in a state where I can have peace of mind that police will come when they're called, firefighters are available to put out fires, my kids' schools will have dedicated teachers, and no Alaskans will starve due to lack of eligibility technicians verifying benefits. We aren't nearing a crisis. The crisis is here, and it has been here if we had only listened to these public employees. They're leaving the state in droves. On top of a lack of retirement security, they're not paid wages competitive with the private sector or competitive with the lower 48, which is an issue for another day. Those who are leaving have consistently referenced the lack of retirement as one of the top reasons. And over the years, analysis after analysis has been done, bringing us to today with SB 88, which is the most modest version of the defined benefits program I've seen so far. If we want a chance at recruiting or retaining state public employees, this has to be step one. I urge this committee to do the right thing by our state's public servants and pass SB 88 out of committee to bring our public employees one step closer to a retirement that honors their commitment to our state. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next, Brian Mason.
Hello, I'd like to thank the chair and members of the committee. I am a teacher at Chugiak High School. I also, my children attend Chugiak High School and Mirror Lake Middle School. I have 17 years experience in the district, and this past year, once again, I became the youngest and most inexperienced member of my department. In the 17 years, 16 years of which that I have worked at Chugiak High School, we have hired at least a dozen younger, less experienced members of my department, and exactly zero of them have stayed beyond about 3 to 5 years. Now, the reasons vary, but in most cases, it was because they could not make a future in Alaska, and they ended up leaving the profession or leaving the state. I should not, at 17 years and 44 years old, be once again the youngest, most least senior member of my department, but that's where we're at because of the lack of a defined benefit plan. In addition to that, I'm also the department chair at my school, and I get to sit in on interviews. When I started in this role about 10 years ago, we would have anywhere from, 8 to 12 applicants per position. Now we're lucky to get 2 applicants if we have an open position, and that, once again, is a direct result of a lack of a defined benefit plan. Just this past week, I was in Atlanta at the National Science Teachers Association Conference. I got grant funding to go attend that. As part of my work with the Howard Hughes Medical Institute, and I talked with dozens of people about my life in Alaska. And of course, as all of us know, when we meet somebody from out of state, people are fascinated with our lives here. And many, many, many times, the people I was talking to expressed an interest in perhaps moving up here and teaching, and they asked me what it was about. And without exception, every single one of them lost interest when they learned that we are the only state that does not have either a defined benefit plan or access to Social Security. And that's where we're at. If we care about our education system, I want my children to have quality teachers, but when we can only attract one applicant per position, the reality is we're not getting necessarily the best quality educators that we could get. I encourage the members of the committee to move this out of committee, and for all of those listening, to vote in favor of SB 88. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Brian, for your testimony. Next up, Jacob Barra.
Hi, my name is Jacob Bear. I'm calling from Chugiak, Alaska. I'm calling in support of SB 88. I sincerely want to thank Senator Diesel for sponsoring the bill and for doing her homework. For years I've been testifying in support of a return to a defined benefit, and it's just really, I'm so happy to hear so much research and the data and the information from the Division of Retirement Benefits to support this bill. Certainly, we're going to hear from people who are against pensions no matter what, but Senator Diesel did her homework. She's earned an A+, and I really appreciate her efforts. I was at Chugiak Elementary yesterday talking about this bill and this issue to about 30 elementary staff members. I was the only Tier 2 person in the room. They were all Tier 3, and they all hinged. They all kind of said the same thing. We're really kind of hanging out to see what happens with this issue, whether we stay here in Alaska or leave. And so I just really appreciate this committee's attention on the issue, and I urge you to pass SB 88 out of committee. If I could offer one idea for an amendment, whether it happens in this committee or not, one of the benefit calculator ideas for SB 88 is that it's A defined benefit would be calculated on an average of the highest 5 years of consecutive service. One of the things that I think might happen in the future if this stays the same is that it might negatively impact parents, especially parents who choose to have a child and stay home. So, for example, my wife and I started teaching the same amount of years. We've been teaching for 20 years. My wife is at 17 service years, and I'm at 20 because we had 3 children, and she decided to stay home, for part of the year on family medical leave. And so even if it stayed 5 years but you struck consecutive, I think that the idea is a good one, but the fact that the language is consecutive might negatively impact parents of young kids who decided to stay home during those early years. And so thank you for listening. I urge the committee to pass this SB 88, and thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony, Jacob. Is there anyone else in the room wishing to testify on Senate Bill 88? Hearing and seeing no one, I'd just like to remind folks that are online, if you have already testified to this bill, we will not be calling on you a second time to testify to the bill. Feel free to testify when the bill is up in front of a different committee or in the other body. At this time, I will close public testimony, and we will call upon the Senate bill sponsor, the Honorable Senator Kathy Geisel, to make some wrap-up remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Kathy Geisel. I have the honor of being the state senator for Senate District E, E as in Echo. That's in the Anchorage area. Thank you for this opportunity to make some wrap-up remarks. I have prepared a very brief PowerPoint just to underscore some of the points. But I wanted to start out just reminding members of something that Senator Gray Jackson emphasized last week, and that is that the previous pension plan did not fail because of its policy. It failed because an actuary made an error in their assessment, in their projections, and then lied to the state of Alaska about it. The error and misrepresentation was not uncovered until a second actuary was hired to audit the first one, and they discovered the error. The previous defined benefit plan had been fully funded. Just a point to keep in mind. This new defined benefit policy, this new defined benefit system, is not a gold-plated system. It is modest, but it provides the ability for the employee to have a dignified retirement. We will not see impoverished seniors, as can happen with the defined contribution system, which is not allowing folks to save as much as need be. It shares the risk between employee and employer. It shares the costs between employees and employers. And it maintains the goal of it is to maintain a 90% funding of the system. So the first piece of information I want to share with you is, first of all, in the bill, we empower the Alaska Retirement Management Board, the abbreviation being the ARM Board, to monitor the system. They monitor the systems now, and they meet quarterly. This is the March 16th meeting, so this just happened earlier this month, and some data was released at that meeting. The data shows that over the last 7 months, withdrawal from the Teachers Retirement System, DC, and the Public Employees Retirement System, DC, defined contribution for both of these, was approximately $62 million withdrawn over the last 7 months. 90% of those withdrawals came after 5 years of employment. In other words, those employees withdrawing from the defined contribution funds were fully vested. What does that mean? It means that they could withdraw their entire contributions, their own, the employees, and what the employer had put in. They were 100% vested. So that averages out to about $12 million a month being withdrawn from the defined contribution systems. That's important. We talk about being fiscal conservatives. That's $12 million moving out of that system. Okay? Hundreds of millions of dollars are leaving the system and potentially the state each year as these folks at vesting, 5 years, take their money out and leave the state. It's wonderful because, of course, that was the intent with the defined contribution, right? It's portable. Well, the portability is giving us some challenges. So the next page is actually those spreadsheets, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, and you can see the actual numbers. This is data from the ARM board meeting itself. I'm not making it up. This is what they review. So 90% being withdrawn at the five-year full vesting. The question has arisen, and I'm really thankful to the folks that testified today who pointed out that our teachers do not have Social Security benefits right now. So the discussion has been, could we return to Social Security, return our employees to Social Security? This is a data point for you, members of the committee. There is the possibility of doing that, but it's extremely complex. We did have in 2011 a legislative research report on that. It goes through the various steps that would have to be taken. It is highly complex. Fundamentally, the answer is no. It would be very, very difficult to take our employees and return them to the Social Security system. Even with actuarial assessment of equivalency, it would likely end up in the courts. And for members of the public who are watching, I'm on slide 5 of a very brief PowerPoint. So at this point, unfortunately, our members can't enter that system. But we do have a supplemental benefit system, right? SBS, otherwise called Alaska Supplemental Annuity System. It was created by the state to replace the Social Security, but most school districts and municipalities did not join SBS. Therefore, a lot of our public employees are without both Social Security and SBS. Something to keep in mind. So SBS, just for the public, is a defined contribution plan. It is governed under the IRS. And this slide kind of goes through the details of the 6.13% that goes into the SBS, but not all of our eligible employees are in this system. But this is what SBS is. That's just informational for you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. We do have a health reimbursement arrangement in this bill. The HRA, one of the questions I get asked by folks, in fact, it was asked by members of this committee, could employees contribute to their own health reimbursement arrangement? And the answer is no. The IRS has issued a document. It's number 969. You see it up there. The HRA must be funded solely by the employer, and that's provided for in this bill. So employers will contribute 3% to a health reimbursement arrangement for every employee. It is a tax-free investment for the employees, and these amounts can be used for any unreimbursed through insurance medical expenses that the employee has, even in retirement. The money accumulates year over year. So that is provided for in this bill. And just so members know, it is only the employer that can contribute the 3%. Some other questions that have come up. What if an employee is a member of both PERS and TERS, Public Employee Retirement System, and Teachers Retirement System? This will be something that the Retirement and Benefit Division will work with each individual at retirement to combine, assuming that this bill were to pass. I was also asked at one point, could a public employee take their retirement from one state and merge it with Alaska's? This, again, will be individually considered. I had some teachers from Colorado who have a defined benefit system there wondering if they could combine what they have in Colorado and combine it with Alaska's, should this bill pass. And that was the answer was probably not, but retirement and benefit would have to consider that and calculate it. The other question that has come up, what if the person retires before age 65? And this is where, for members of the public that are concerned about the cost, this is information that might be helpful to them to understand that if a person retires before age 65, before they are eligible for Medicare, they will have to purchase their own health insurance to bridge the years. So let's take a firefighter, for example, who can retire at age 60. They will have 15 years to cover their own health insurance. Their health reimbursement arrangement monies, of course, can be applied to that. Or they can go to the health insurance marketplace to get coverage. They can use their HRA to continue purchase of the health insurance that the state provides. It is rather expensive. So this is one of the areas in the bill that we are constraining costs. This is not like previous retirement systems. This will have to require some commitment from employees, right, to cover some of their medical costs themselves. When they reach age 65, they will be eligible for Medicare, and their retirement medical benefits will kick in. In other words, paying a fraction of their Medicare that isn't covered by Medicare. That can be found on pages 41 to 43 in section 79 of the bill itself, if you want to look that up later. And I will look at it right now. For example, on page 43, it articulates that being eligible for Medicare, the retiree will also have coverage, premium amounts covered. 30% of those will be covered if they have 10 or more years of employment, but less than 15. 25% of those uncovered Medicare expenses will be covered if the employee has 15 years or more, but less than 20. So you find all of that articulated in the bill. Again, for members of the public that are thinking that this is some kind of gold-plated retirement system, it is not. We are requiring the employees to pony up significant costs at times should they retire on this situation before age 65. Another question that's been asked. Right now, our retirement fund itself, pension fund, is not as well-funded as the health fund. The health fund is actually overfunded. And so the question has been asked, couldn't we combine those two funds right now and create a level 90% funded, both of them combined? And the answer is no. There was a specific law passed that said, and it's a federal law, that the health benefit fund must be kept separate and secure. And so that can't be done. One of the questions that I've been exploring is the health fund is funded actually over 100%. Could the excess funding actually be appropriated in a one-time appropriation over to the pension fund, again, to help levelize them? I haven't gotten an answer yet to that rather complex question. So just letting you know that that is out there without an answer at this point. But the key things to remember with Senate Bill 88 is there is protection in this bill for the downside risk. The ARM board is authorized in the bill to adjust the employee and employer contributions if the funds become less than 90% funded, 90% funding being the gold standard for pension fundings. They can also suspend or decrease benefits if the fund drops below 90%. So we're also looking at a very conservative rate of return on these funds, unlike previous retirement plans have aimed at. There are cost savings. Now, I'm not saying that this is going to be cheap, or that it will be free. We don't have the actuarial assessments done yet. Those will be done when this bill reaches Senate Finance. But we have cost savings in this, and we are preventing the bleeding of funds from the state. And here's what I mean. We are retaining these critical employees that we've spent so much to train. Right now, remember, members of the committee and Mr. Chairman, we're offering a $20,000 hiring bonus for firefighters. The ones that we hire to onboard, we're paying $150,000 to train and onboard each new firefighter. At 5 years, we're hearing from the firefighters themselves that at 5 years, when they can pull out of DC, the defined contribution, and be recruited to Washington or Oregon, they're taking their money and all that training we've given them, and they're leaving the state. Again, members of the public need to know these are losses to the state. We're offering $10,000 for a hiring bonus for correction officers. These are the people that we want. We want skilled correction officers to keep the bad guys in jail for us, right? But we're seeing them leave public service also, and so we're offering a hiring bonus. Last year, 92 foster care workers left public service. Foster care workers have very difficult jobs, but they're managing serious family issues. It will cost $5 million to hire and onboard replacement foster care workers to fill those positions. $5 million of cost to the state budget. Right now, we've raised the salary for Department of Law attorneys by 20%, again, in an effort to recruit them. So I hear it when members of the public say we can't afford to do a defined benefit again. Folks, we can't afford not to. It is costing us to have these critical employees leaving at 5 years of employment. So workforce retention is a huge piece of this. Any fiscal conservative would be supportive of Senate Bill 88 to stop the loss of these critical employees. As I said, the actuarial assessments will be done in Senate Finance. I know this committee has thought about several amendments to the bill. That's great. I'm looking forward to seeing the improvements that you make in the bill. So in conclusion, we have a recruitment and retention crisis. We see people with their defined contributions leaving the state to be recruited to other states, taking their skills with them. And we are trying to do what we can to keep these Alaskans here, not only as employees, but as families. Families that are building our economy, enriching our state, and keeping our seniors here as well. So, Mr. Chairman, with that, I'd be happy to take questions. Thank you so much for hearing the bill.
You're welcome. Are there questions from committee members for the bill sponsor? Seeing none, thank you very much, Senator Giesel. At this time, we will set this bill aside. The Senate Labor and Commerce Committee will meet again on Friday, March 31st, when we will take up a new CS for Senate Bill 83, Senate Bill 84, and begin taking public testimony on Senate Bill 89. As there is no further business to come before the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee today, we are adjourned at 2:41.